Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Erevin, Daf Samach Gimel. We're learning today Le'ilui Nishmas Ida Small, Chaya Ida Bas Isser. All the Nishmas we learn for should have an Aliyah. We begin at the very top line, second line, on Samach Gimel Omen Aleph, with the words Ravina Sor Sakina Bebovel. And we're continuing our discussion about the proper way that a person is supposed to act in front of his Rebbe. There's a problem of being Mora Halach Lufnei Rabbo, which we'll discuss more in today's shir, which we began the discussion of in yesterday's shir. And here we're discussing an interesting halacha, a minhag that came about, that a person would show his knife. It's Rashi says, Sor Sakina means Bodak Sakin Letabach, Velo Amru Laharo Sakin Lechochem Elev Nechvodu Shochochem. That before a person would go in Shech, he would show his knife to show that it has no pogum, it has no blemishes, it has no breaks in the sharpness of the knife. He would show it to a Talmid Chacham as a cover. And therefore, if a person was going to Shecht in the town of a Talmid Chacham, so the minhag was that he would show the knife first to the Rav. Now, he's supposed to show it to the Rav of the town. Instead, where Rav Ashi was the Rav of the town, Ravina saw Sakin Revovel. He showed it to Ravina, and Ravina reviewed, so to say, the knife and said, yeah, this is a kosher knife, you can go and shech with it. So Rav Ashi was surprised. Amar Rav Ashi. Rav Ashi was Ravina's Rebbe. So he said to him, my taima, Ovid Mar Hochi, why did you do this? After all, they're supposed to show it to me. Why did you see the knife? Why did you not defend my honor, so to say? Why didn't you bring me the knife? Why did you do such a chutzpahdik thing? So Ravina, who was a Talmud Chacham of Rav Ashi, Ravina and Rav Ashi were the redactors of the Gemara. They lived towards the end of the time of the Gemara in the 500, 600 time period. And Rav Ashi was the Rosh Hashiva for 60 years, and Ravina was his colleague. So Ravina tells Rav Ashi, Amalei, Vah Rav Hamnuna, Ori Becharto di Argas, Bishnei di Rav Chista. But we learned yesterday, at the very end of the shiur, that there was this city that was known as Charta, which was owned by a person known as Argaz. That was his name. He was an Amgushi, Rashi says. He was some sort of a magician. And he was the one that was the owner of the town. And in that town, Rav Hamnuna, he paskined, even though it was during the lifetime of Rav Hamnuna's Rebbe, Rav Chista. So therefore, Ravina said, I'm allowed to go and paskin over here also. I can go see the knife, even though you're alive, even though you're around. So Rav Ashi says, that's not true. You have the story wrong. It didn't say that Rav Hamnuna ore bechar to the Argas. In fact, the Girsu was, Amalei, lav ore itmar. Rav Hamnuna did not go and paskin any shilos. And therefore, you're wrong for not showing the knife to me. Instead, you saw the knife yourself and paskin that it's okay. So Ravina said, no, that's not true. There are two different Girsos over there. Amalei. Itmar Ore. There is one here, so that says that Rav Hamnuna did in fact paskin in Charta the Argas, and the Itmar Lo Ore. And there was another gear, so that said he didn't paskin. It all depends on what point in life it was. Bishnei de Rav Huna. Rav Hamnuna had a primary Rebbe, Rav Huna. And when Rav Huna died, he learned by Rav Chista. So he explains the story, or the two different gears, as follows. Bishnei de Rav Huna Rabbe, when his real primary Rebbe, Rav Huna, was alive, so then who de Lo Ore? In those days, he, Rav Hamnuna, would not go and paskin any shilas in front of his Rebbe, or even in the presence of his Rebbe, Rav Huna. However, when Rav Huna passed away, and he went to learn by Rav Chista, but he was a Talmud Chavar of Rav Chista, so then he already did paskin shilas in the city known as Charta the Argas, because he didn't have his primary Rebbe anymore around. He had a Rebbe who was a Talmud Chavar of his, and therefore he felt he was allowed to paskin in that time. Because, as the Gemara says, the Talmud Chavar delay Hava, because even though he learned some things from Rav Chista, but he was his equal. He was a Talmud Chavar. Rashi explains that a Talmud Chavar is somebody who is Chacham Kimoso. He's as big a Talmud Chacham as an Elo Shalom Aminu Dover Echad O Yoser. But he learned things from him. So he was his Rebbe, but he was at the same time also a Talmud. And therefore, Vana, Ravina says to Rav Ashi, I'm also Nami Talmud Chavar Demarana. I respect you, you're my Rebbe, but we're equals to a certain extent, and therefore I'm allowed to go and see this knife. When they gave it to me, I don't have to go and give it to you. Amar Rava says, as an aside in this din of showing the knife, if a Talmud Chacham is living in a town where there's a Rav, so if he's only shechting for himself, he's not shechting for public consumption, he's only personally shechting, he doesn't have to show his knife to the Rav of the town. Maisa Shahaya, Ravina Ikla Lemechuza. Ravina went to the city of Mechuza. Rashi points out the Mechuza was Asrei Derava. That was in the shtat, that was in the town where Rava was the chief rabbi. So therefore, you would show your knife in that town to Rava. So, Isaac Ushbezichdei, when Ravina went to go by stay by a certain hotel, so the innkeeper at the hotel showed him Sakina, the Komachvile. So the innkeeper gave Ravina the knife and said, "No, I'm going to go shaft with this knife. Is that okay?" So Amalei, so Ravina said, "No, Zil Antaye L'Rava. First show the knife to Rava. I'll cover it for Rava." So the Gemara says, Amalei, the innkeeper said to him, "Lo Sava Mar Hodam Rava." Rava himself is the one that said that if you're shafting for yourself, you don't have to show it to the Rava. Here, I'm shafting for you. So it's like shafting for yourself. Why do we have to show it to Rava, the Rava in the town? After all, Rava said, "Sovi Rabbanon Chazil Avshei." So again, it's this Rava, the Rava of the town, who said that you don't have to show it to him. So Ravina says, "No, that's not correct." Amalei says, "When did Rava say that you don't have to show it to the Rava if you're shafting for yourself? However, I'm not shechting myself here. Mitzvah Zvina, you're shechting, and I'm buying the meat from you. So therefore, it's not like it's being shechted, I'm shechting for myself. You're shechting for yourself, and therefore you have to show, as covered, to the Rav of the town, your knife, before you go and shecht." Now we have a simon, we've mentioned many times how important it is to say these simonim out loud. So simon zila, now the gears that we have is lahanya, the box says it should be mehanya, machlif, ika, and Viako. These are all the Rashi tables of the upcoming Maisa that we're going to have. So we start off, you have to keep the names straight here. It's a number of different Amoraim, four different Amoraim. So Rabbi Elazar Mehagrunya, so he was there. And also Rav Abba, the Girsa on the side says it should be Rav Acha. And this is a little confusing because we're going to have three different Rav Achas over here, so keep them straight. So instead of Rav Abba, this should be Rav Acha. So this is the first Rav Acha. So Rav Elazar Mehagrunya and Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa were sitting together, and they went Iklu Lebei Rav Acha Berei de Rav Ika. They went to a different Rav Acha's house, Rav Acha Berei de Rav Ika, and he lived Basrei. He lived in the shtat where the Rav of the town was Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So again, we have three Rav Achas, and also Rabbi Elazar ben Agrunya. So Rabbi Elazar ben Agrunya and Rav Acha bar Tachlifa, they went to visit Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ika, and this was in the town of Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Now, the house that they went to visit, Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ika, he wanted to prepare for them food. So boy, Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ika, l'mevad lu igla tilsa, he was going to give them filet mignon, he was going to give them the best meat. Igla tilsa, we've had many times, Rashi brings down that it was a calf that had grown to one-third of its maturity, which was the most tender meat and the most delicious meat. Others explain that it was the third-born calf. That cow is going to be the most delicious cow. The other explanations as well, the bottom line is, all of them say that it was a very, very tasty type of meat. So he was going to go shecht this igla tilsa. So Isis Sakina become Machvelu. So the owner of the house, Rav Acha b'Reid Rav Ika, wanted to give cover to the other two rabbanim, and he showed them the knife in order to them to do the Sar Sakina, that they should go and inspect the knife before he goes and shecht. So he showed it to Rav Acha bar Tachlifa and Rabbi Elazar Mehagrunya, and he says, "Is the knife okay?" So Rav Acha bar Tachlifa said, "Lo lecho shlei l'sava." Whoa, you have a Rav in the town. You have Rav Acha bar Yaakov in this town. We need to show it to him before we go in shecht. Amalu Rabbi Elazar Mehagrunya. Rabbi Elazar Mehagrunya said, "No, that's not necessary, because Hochi Omar Rava. Rava was the one that said, Tzuvi mi Rabbanon chazil nafshei, that a Talmud Chacham doesn't have to go show it to the local Rav, if he's shechting for himself, as opposed to he's a public butcher. Here he's shechting for himself, so you're shechting for yourself. You're a Talmud Chacham, you're a Tzuvi mi Rabbanon. You do not have to show it to the Rav of the town. We don't have to show it to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Therefore, Rav Elazar Mehagrunya said, Chazi, I'll just go take a look at the knife and make sure that it's a kosher knife. But he was punished for this. V'anish Rabbi Elazar Mehagrunya. He was subsequently punished. The Gemara doesn't tell you what exactly happened to him, but he was subsequently punished because he didn't give proper kavod to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the Rav in the town. The Gemara says, but after all, he was right. Why did Rabbi Elazar Mehagrunya get punished? We paskin like Rava. For all my Rava, Tzuvi mi Rabbanon chazil nafshei. And they were shafting for themselves. It was for personal usage and not for public butchering. And therefore, they should have had the right not to show it to Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So why was Rav Elazar mi Agrunya punished? So the Gemara gives two terutzim. Number one, Shiny Hossam, this case was different. Why? The Aschilu b'chvodo. Since Rav Acha bar Tachlifa said, we have to go and show it to the Rav of the town, Rav Acha bar Yaakov. So once we already began to discuss the cover to the Rav, to then go and say, nah, we don't have to give cover to the Rav, that's pasnish, that's not right. And therefore, that's why he was punished. That's teretz number one. Rashi says, me'achos shenemelo d'nechos l'saba, after Rav Acha bar Tachlifa said, we should show it to Rav Acha bar Yaakov, so then it's not right that they ignore that. Once you start it, it's not right to stop. And therefore, Hischilu Ludaber Bichvodo, Lo Yeholo Lazalzo Bedover, Rashi says. Rav Elazar Agrunya, but Meir Agrunya was wrong. Second, Teres, we might say more, Shiny Rav Acha bar Yaakov. Yeah, you're right. Rav's din applies when you're dealing with the regular cover that you have to give to the local Rav. Very, very important. But every local Rav, then you're allowed to go and take Rav's heter. If you're using it for your own personal usage, you don't have to show cover to the Rav. But when you're dealing with Rav Acha bar Yaakov, the Gadol Hador, the Muflog, he was unique. As Rashi says, Harbei Ma'od HaYazokim V'Chokam. He was a venerable sage. He was a tremendous Talmud Chokam and Gadol of the Dor. So therefore, it's in this situation, Rav's din doesn't apply. And that's why Rav Elazar Mi'Agrunya was incorrect, and that's why he was punished. Now the Gemara goes and further discusses this concept of Mor Halacha V'Rabo. Until now, we were talking about a Talmud Chaver. That's the way we explain the Gemara. Rava says, Ulafrushe me Yisura. Even if you're dealing with your Rebbe in front of you, but to prevent somebody from doing an Isser, then we don't give cover to a Rav. Lafrushe me Yisura. Somebody's about to do a sin, and your Rebbe's there. So you're supposed to speak up, even though you're speaking up in front of your Rebbe. Afilu b'fanav. Even if you're right there, the Rebbe is right in front of you. Nevertheless, to prevent somebody from doing an Isser, and cover the Torahs, we'll see. Afilu b'fanav shaper dami. Even your Rebbe's right there, and somebody's about to do an Issa, let's say somebody's Shabbos, and somebody's about to do a Chalal Shabbos, and your Rebbe and you are watching him, and the Rebbe doesn't say anything, so you're allowed to be more halacha with a rabbi to tell the guy, hey, stop what you're doing. Ma'isa shoya. Ravina Abi Yosef Kameda Ravashi. Ravina, who we said was a Talmud Chaver of Ravashi, was once sitting with Ravashi, and Chazi Elahu Gabra, he saw a person, the Ko'osar Le Lechamre Bitsinta Bishabasa, and he saw a person going and tying his donkey to a palm tree. Now, we learned previously, you're not allowed to use trees on Shabbos. We're concerned that you may come to climb up them and cut down a branch. So you can't use trees on Shabbos. Now, that's the Girsa that we have. The Girsa, the Aruch on the side, has a slightly different Girsa. Tzani Katar means that he tied Pirish Hoya Kosher Chamoro Bedeko. Again, the same bottom line, just a slightly different Girsa. In any event, that's what this person did. Now, that's an Isser Shabbos. And Ravina saw him. Ravashi either didn't see him or didn't say anything. And Rama Bey called it. So Ravina said, hey, stop. What are you doing? But the guy didn't listen to him. In other words, the guy was ignoring him. He says, I'm going to tie my donkey to the tree anyway. So Amalei, so Ravina says in front of his Rebbe Ravashi, his Talmud Chaver, he's the status of a Talmud Chaver to Ravashi, but he's still somewhat subordinate to Ravashi. So Amalei tells this person, Levi Hai Garu Bishamta, in front of his Rebbe, he puts the guy in Chayru. He says, if you don't stop what you're doing, I'm going to put you in Chayru for not listening to Talmidei Chum and be Mechal Shabbos over here. So Ravina does this, and then Ravina says to his Rebbe, Ravashi, is this allowed? Did I do correctly? So Amalei, Ravina says to Ravashi, Ki hai gabna mi mischaza ka'af kirusa. In regards to what I did with this person, that I put him in chayrim in front of my Rebbe, am I allowed to do that? Or is that considered hefker, that I did something that is improper and incorrect? So that's what he asked his Rebbe, and his Rebbe told him. Amalei, Ravashi told him, no, ain't, you did 100% right. Ein chochma v'ein svuna v'ein etzel l'neged Hashem. This pasuk from Mishlei tells us that when it comes to honoring HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so then we don't go and say there should be a respect for Talmud Chacham, or we have to start doing all sorts of tvuna, bina, thinking, or eitz, or advice, l'neged Hashem. There's going to be a Chil Hashem here right now. This person is publicly desecrating the Shabbos in front of Talmidei Chachamim. So ein cholki kovel arav. So then I don't have to go and say, Rebbe, you go and handle it, or my Rebbe's here, I better not say anything. No, if it's going to prevent the desecration of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's name, so then you speak up even in front of your Rebbe. Now, this was Ravina, again, as a Talmud Chaver of Ravashi. What about a regular Talmud, not a Talmud Chaver of a Rebbe? So Amar Rava, Rava tells us, Bifan of Osir, Bechayed Misa, Rachmon Letzlan. If a person with the Paskin in front of his Rebbe, I mentioned the other day, that Shmuel, as a two-year-old child, Paskin in front of Eli, that you're allowed to go and have a non-Kohen Shech to Karbon in the Beis HaMikdash, and his Rebbe, Eli, told him, yeah, you're Taki, you're right, but you're Mora Halacha, Lefnei Rabbo, and you're Chayv Misa. So that's what the din is. Rava tells us, Bifan of Osir, in front of your Rebbe, and Mikbach Lokas amongst the Poskim, what does it mean, in front of your Rebbe? Rashi says, Bifan of Osir, Lahoros, V'chayev Misa, V'di Shomayim, then Yechayev Misa, in front of, passing in front of your Rebbe. So he seems to say that this is only literally in front of your Rebbe. But there are other posts that say that it means even within the shtat, within a certain distance of your Rebbe. Some say three parsos, like the Degel of the Midbar, like the Chai Yisrael in the Midbar, because that's what we learn out, as we'll see later on in the Gemara, some of the halachos. In any event, we won't define right now exactly what Bafanov means, but when you're considered in front of your Rebbe, either directly in front of him or within the shtat, or within a certain area of your Rebbe, so Chayiv Misa. Now this Misa is not Misa's based, and this is Misa Bidei Shemayim. Now, that's what all Gemara says. There are other Gemaras that say elsewhere that it may be a chiyuv of kares. The bottom line is, not a good thing to do. Shalom b'fanav, if you're passing not in front of your Rebbe, it's also not a good thing to do without the Rebbe's permission, aser. However, vein chayiv misa, if you're farther enough away, if you're either not in front of the Rebbe, like the simple understanding, or if you're beyond a certain distance from the Rebbe, so it's still forbidden to do so without the Rebbe's permission. However, v'ein chayiv misa, in that situation, it's not a chiyuv of misa b'dei shemayim, not mor halacha lefnei rabo. Now, the Gemara questions this and says, v'shelo b'fon of lo, if you're not in front of your Rebbe, then you don't get misa b'dei shemayim, but I'll show you for the following maisa that you do. V'atanya, Rebbe Lezer Omer, Rebbe Lezer tells us, that lo meisu b'nei Aaron, the b'nei Aaron, nodav and aviyu, only died ad because shahoru halacha b'nei Moshe Rabban, because they passed in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, the Gemara in Sanhedrin tells us that there are four or five reasons why we possibly have the Bnei Aaron dying. They were shesuyayin, they possibly drank wine, they were chutzpedik to Moshe and Aaron in another way. They said, when will these two great gedolim die so we can take over? There were other shitas that said that they didn't get married, they couldn't find a girl that was good enough for them. So the Gemara there gives many reasons. But here we're focusing on the reason that Rabbi Lezer gives, which is that they died because they were more halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, what was the halacha that they said? My darush, what did they paskin? So they dash in the pasuk, v'nostum ne'aron ha-kohen, eish al ha-mizbeach. The pasuk tells us that they placed a fire on the Mizbeach. Now, a fire came down from Shemayim. So why did they do this? So Amru, they said, even though Afapi Shaisha read from Shemayim, even though miraculously a fire came down from Shemayim, they thought mitzvah lavi min hahedjo, that there was a mitzvah to do it themselves. Don't let somebody else do this. They should do this themselves. Now Moshe Rabbeinu was there. Why did they pass it on their own? They should have asked Moshe Rabbeinu. And because they passed it in the front of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were chayav misa b'dei Shemayim. And that's exactly what happened. The Kodesh Baruch Hu killed Nadav and Aviyu on the day that the Mishkan was put up. Now, another Maisa Shoya. The Talmud Echor Hoyolol Rebbe Eliezer. The previous Eliezer, the Bach tells us Rebbe Eliezer and Yaakov, and this is Rebbe Eliezer Hagodol, a different Rebbe Eliezer. In any event, he said he had a Talmud that was Hora Halacha before him, that Paskin in front of him. So Rebbe Eliezer goes home that day. Amar Rebbe Eliezer Le'ima Shalom Ishto. He goes home and tells his wife, Ima Shalom. This was the sister of Rabban Gamliel. She's a famous woman that we have in Shas in a number of places. And he tells his wife, Tomu ani im yotzi zeshno. So he says, this Talmud Nebuch, he was more halach in front of me. I would be surprised if he lives out the year. And in fact, v'lo hotzi shnaso. And then the Talmud died before the year was up. So his wife was amazed at him. Amar lo, Naviata, you're a Navi? His wife tells him. Ima Shalom tells her husband, Rebbe Eliezer, are you a Navi? Amar lo, Naviata? So Amar lo, so Rebbe Eliezer responds. He says, lo Navi onuchi, lo ben Navi onuchi. I am not a Navi, nor was my father a Navi. This we find in the Nach. It's sometimes a Navi says, I'm not a Navi or ben Navi. So he paraphrases this Lashon that we find in Nach. In any event, it says there, Elokach mekublani, I have a Kabbalah for my Rabbeim, that kol amor halacha v'nei rabu chayv misa. This is the din that we've been talking about. If somebody's mor halacha in front of his Rebbe, he's going to be chayv misa. And this Talmud, Nebuch, he saw, did this, so he said, this is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs the world. It would be surprising to me if this person lived after the year. Now, What's the question here? Amar Rabba Bar Rachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, also Talmud Yehuda ben Gurya Shmo. This Talmud, his name was Yehuda ben Gurya. V'haya rachok mimenu shalosh parasos. He was more than three parasos away from him. And we just said that if a person is more than three parasos from his Rebbe, he's doing something that's wrong, but he's not chayav misa. So how come this Talmud was chayav misa b'day shemayim if he was more than three parasos from his Rebbe? Again, the idea of the three parasos is from the machane in the midbar, which one end to the other was more than three parasos. So if you're within the machane and you paskin, so then that's called being more aloch lefnei Moshe Rabbeinu. So here, the Talmud was more than three parashas away. Why did he get punished? So Gemara says, Befanafaya. No, he was in fact in front of Rabbi Eliezer, and therefore that's why he got punished. Gemara says, But it tells us that he was more than three parashas away. How can you disregard that? So Gemara says, no. According to you, Taimech, Shemo, Shemo Vivlama, why did it have to tell us his name? It should have just said, Ozo Talmud Meis. But it says, Ozo Talmud Yehuda was his name, and he was Ben Gurya Shemo. His father's name was Gurya. So why did it have to tell us those extraneous, unnecessary details? Ella, Shelo Tomar, Marshal Hoya. It's telling us these details. The Gemara sometimes will give us what we seem to have as extraneous details in order to show this is real Maisa Shahoya, and it's not just a marshal. It's not just somebody saying, yeah, this is the type of thing that happened. One time it happened. No, it's telling us all the details of this to show that this is a real Maisa Shahoya. And therefore, it says that this Talmud lived three parasols from where his Rebbe was, but he paskined in front of his Rebbe, and that's why he was chayav misa. Amar Chiya bar Abba, Amar Rav Yochanan, kol amora alochel b'nei Rabbo, if somebody is in fact paskined in front of his Rebbe, roi lakisho nochosh, he deserves to be bitten by a snake. Again, a shaliach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses is often a snake. We find that throughout Shas, that one of the main messages that HaKadosh Baruch Hu uses, certainly not the only one by any means, but he sends a snake to do certain types of punishments to people. And this is based upon Shinemar. We have from Iyov, where it says, Vayan Elihu Ben Brachel Habuzi, and he said, Vayomar, he said, Tsar Anil Yomim Vagomer, Akein Zachalti. I'm very young, and therefore I'm afraid to offer any sort of halacha in front of my Rebbe. He uses the lashon over here of Zachalti. Elsewhere it says, Im Chamas Zochalei Ofor. So it says, by a snake, it will go and run in the dirt, slide in the dirt, and therefore we see that the term of Zochale and Zochalti are similar terms, and therefore this idea that Elihu says, I do not want to go die with the bite of a snake if I go and amora halacha in front of my Rebbe. Zira Amar Chanina, Ziri says, in the name of Rebbe Chanina, Nikra Chote, a person that's amora halacha in front of his Rebbe is also called a sinner. How do we see that? Shinema, the pasuk says, "Bili bi tefanti rosecha." In my heart, I had your words, "Laman loech tolof," but I didn't say them out loud in order that I should not do a sin. In other words, that a Talmud who knows the halacha but doesn't speak it up in front of his Rebbe, so he doesn't want to do a sin. In other words, he doesn't want to be called nikra chote. Rav Amuna Marmi, Rav Amuna said, "There's a pasuk that says, 'Ksiv bili bi tefanti rosecha.' That's the pasuk that we just said. I keep your words; I could have spoken in my heart, but." That implies that David HaMelech did not paskin. But then it says, Uksiv, Bisarti Tzedek, Bekol Rav. But then it says that David HaMelech did paskin in public. So which one is it? So the Gemara says, Lokasha, it depends when. Kan, when he didn't paskin, was Bizman She'ira Hayo'iri Kayam. That's when his Rebbe, Ira Hayo'iri, was present. And only after did he passed away, Kan Bizman She'ira Hayo'iri Kayam. Only after he was no longer alive did David HaMelech go and paskin. Who was Ira Hayo'iri? So Tosus tells us that Ira Hayo'iri was a person who dekori le'ira Yiri afal pi shoya kohen. He was known as the Yiri, came from Yair, which is from Menashe, even though he was a kohen, because Shema Ovid Me'Aaron, his father was from Aaron, his father was the kohen, the imam Menashe, but his mother came from the lineage of Yair from Menashe, as Gemara Megillah tells us. Mordechai, Ovid mi Binyamin, v'imo mi Yehuda. His father came from Binyamin, but his mother came from Yehuda. Now, Tosfos adds, Upashti dekra Kohen l'David, lav Kohen mamashu. We're going to say that he was a Kohen, but it doesn't mean he was a real Kohen. Elo sar. He says it means he was an officer. Ubnei David Kohanim hayu. So they weren't necessarily Kohanim in the pure sense. They were leaders. They were officers. In any event, David HaMelech didn't paskin when his Rebbe Ira Hayo'iri was around, but he paskin afterwards. That's how you reconcile the two psukim, Rav Hamnuna tells us. Nadigmar says, Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda, Kolanosin Matnosov L'Koin Echad. By the way, since we're talking about Yoyer Ira Hayairi. So therefore, we'll have a din over here that David did something that was incorrect. So we teach this as an aside. Gemara is not afraid to point out mistakes that the great Gedoli Klai Yisrael from all the history in Navi, they make mistakes, so we learn from those mistakes. They're not perfect. If you give all your matnos kahuna to one particular kohen rather than spreading the wealth, maybe rov le'olam, that's not a good thing. You should spread the wealth. You should make sure that all the kohanim are taken care of and not just one kohen. And where do we see that from? So Shinemar, Ira Yairi, Hoya Kohen LeDavid. That it says that Ira Yairi was this Kohen LeDavid. Either was a real Kohen, or like Tosa suggested, he was an officer. So LeDavid, who to have a Kohen, Lekuli Amalo, why does it say that he was a Kohen to David? It implies that he wasn't a Kohen to anybody else. So someone says, no. Elo Shoyo Mishagelo Matnosov. That in fact, David gave him all of his Matanos, either as a Kohen, or just he gave him all the presents that he would give to an officer. And therefore, it doesn't make sense to do that. That's not a good idea. In other words, you should make sure that you give it to other people. As the Gemara says, Elo Shoyim Shagalo Matnosav, and the Pasuk says, Uksiv Basrei, right after that, but he Rabbi made David. There was a Rav afterwards, implying that when David gave all his Matnos to Iru Hayoiri, that was not correct. Now we go back and say, Rabbi Lezer Omer, another statement that Rabbi Lezer said is Morid and Oso Migdulosa. If a person is more aloch in front of his rabbi, he's going to have a downfall. He's no longer going to be as great as he could have been. Shinemar, Vayomer Elazar HaKohen Elan Sheatzava. Now here we're talking about Aaron HaKohen's son Elazar. We had Elazar and Isamar. So Elazar became the Kohen Gadol when Nadav and Aviv passed away. And then when Aaron no longer was the Kohen Gadol, he passed away. So Elazar, his son, took over, was the Kohen Gadol. And it says that Elazar was the Kohen Al Anshei Tzava. He taught all the soldiers the halachos of going out to battle. And even though Aval Gav the Amalu, even though he told all the soldiers, hey, listen, La'achi Abba, my father's brother, in other words, my uncle Moshe Rabbeinu, Tziva, he was the one that taught all these halachos to me, Vosilo Tziva, and I did not hear them directly from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So everything that I'm saying over here, I'm saying over in the shame of my uncle. Nevertheless, Afilu Hochi Yanesh, he was still punished for saying it over instead of letting Moshe Rabbeinu say it over. And where do we see that it was punished? The Pasuk tells us, Bifnei Elazar HaKohen Yamod, Yoshua was told to stand in front of Elazar HaKohen and ask him any questions that he needed to ask him of the Urim HaTumim. However, we don't find any place below Ashkan, the Itzrich Le Yoshua. We don't find that Yeshua ever needed Elazar HaKohen. In other words, he was punished that even though now he was the person to go to ask, since he had spoken up when he shouldn't have, so he's punished now that he wasn't the person that Yeshua actually went to go and ask. We don't find that Yeshua ever needed the Kohen Gadol to give him advice. In the Gilgan HaShas, Rabbi Akiva Eger brings down that we do find it. He says, look at the Gemara in Sanhedrin and Tosus over there, and he says that when they divided up the land, he in fact went to Elazar HaKohen to divide up the land. So Tosus over there answers that yes, that was the exception to the rule. And there Yoshua was specifically told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there was a Gzeres HaKasov, to go use the Urim HaTumim to divide up the land. But otherwise, electively, he never went to go and ask Elazar HaKohen anything. Gemara continues and says, Amar Rav Levi, Rav Levi says another Maisa, called the most of Milo Kamei Rabbe, anybody who says anything in front of his Rebbe, Azil Lishol Belov Lot, he's going to go, Nebuch to Lishol, means to his death, Rashi says, Lemisa, if you go and speak up in front of your Rebbe, you're going to die childless, Rachmona Litzlan. Shinemar, where do we see this from Yoshua? It's because it says, Vayan Yoshua ben Nun, Misharis Moshe, Mi Bichurav, Yoshua ben Nun, when he saw that Eldad and Medad were being misnabe in the Machaneh, so he thought that this is not right. So he told Moshe Rabbeinu, go and kill them, wipe them out. Now, Vayomer Adoni Moshe Kileim, when he said, Moshe Rabbeinu, you go wipe them out, he was essentially saying that this is not halacha, you shouldn't allow this to happen. And he was more halacha in front of his Rebbe, and therefore he was punished, as we turn to the Yomid Beis, Uksiv, Nun Vino, Yoshua Vino. In Divrei Hayomim, it tells us the lineage of Yoshua's family. It says his father had a son whose father's name was Nun. His father was Elishama. And then Nun had a son whose name was Yoshua. And that's where the lineage ends. It doesn't say that Yoshua had any sons. By the way, Yoshua had daughters. That we do know. But he never had a son. How do we know that he had daughters? Because it says that from his wife, Rachav, who was from Yericho, the whole Maisa when they captured Yericho, So it says that she was zochet to have many neviim and Chulda HaNeviyah coming from her. So obviously they had to have had children, or else they wouldn't have had any descendants that were neviim. But he never had a son, he only had daughters.
Now this opinion is different than the one of Rav Abba Bar Papa. Upliga de Rav Abba Bar Papa. Rav Abba Bar Papa argues with this, with Rav Levi's opinion. And he says, the Omer, Rav Abba Bar Papa, lo nenash Yeshua. Yeshua wasn't punished because he was more halacha than Rabbo. Elo b'shvil shebitel es Yisrael laila achas min piri v'riva. Because he caused Klai Yisrael, husbands and wives, to be apart, and he caused a diminution in the great mitzvah of piri v'riva. And only for one night he did this, and he was punished, mida keneged mida, that he didn't have any children. Shenemar, where do we see this? The famous story we read in the Haftorah on Pesach. Shenemar, v'hi b'yos Yeshua b'Yericho, v'yiso eino v'yar v'gomer. Yeshua was in the process of conquering Yericho, and that night he goes out and he sees somebody coming towards him. He doesn't know who it is. He thinks that it's an enemy's combatant, and in fact, it's a Malach Hashem. Uksiv Vayomer. Now the Gersa that we have is Lo. He tells to him with a Vav, but in the pasuk it's Vayomer, and the Malach says Lo. Kani Tzar Tzava Hashem Ato Bosi VeGomer. He says, no, I'm not an enemy. I'm in fact in the Tzva Shemayim. I'm one of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Malachim. And he adds the critical point: Ato Bosi. I am coming now. Now, more will explain, what does it mean he's coming now? So, Rav Abba Bar Papa tells us, Amar Lo, the Malach tells Yehoshua, Emesh, yesterday afternoon, you didn't bring the Korban Tamar Shel Ben Arbayim. Bitaltum Tamar Shel Ben Arbayim. You didn't bring it into the Mishkan. The Achshav Bitaltum Talmud Torah. And right now, by being out here, you're not learning Torah. So Yehoshua asks him, Alei Zemei Boso, which one is worse? Which one are you coming to punish me for? So Amar Lo, so the Malach tells Yehoshua, Ato Bosi, I'm coming for now. In other words, the Torah that you're not learning now is even more important than not bringing the Korban Torah and Shobein Arbayim. That's the more significant sin, as we'll see in a moment, and the Gemara will state this specifically. Now, what does Yehoshua do? He corrects it. Miad. Vayelech Yehoshua b'laylahu b'socha emek. So that moment, Yehoshua goes into the emek. He goes into the valley. That's what it literally means. Rabbi Yochanan, darshens this homiletically, and he says, Malame sholach b'omka shel halacha. He delved into the depths of the Torah. Omka is a lashon of depths, of the delving into the depths of the Torah. And therefore, he corrected this avera right away. Now, we finally get to the point that Upliga, the Rav Abba Bar Papa, on Rav Levi. Rav Levi said that Yeshua didn't have a son because he was more halacha lifnei Rabbo, and therefore he was punished. But here, Rav Abba Bar Papa says, Ugmir, we have a Gemara, we have a Mesorah, we have a tradition, the Kol Zman, Sha'oro Nushchina Shurim Shlobim Koma, when the Oren, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu's presence, are not in the right place. In other words, when the Oren is taken out of the Mishkan or out of the Beis HaMikdash, and they did this when they went to battle. So the Shechina, so to say, is not in its home and not, quote, comfortable, kaviyachol. Therefore, at that point in time, we shouldn't be comfortable in Asur Mitashvi Shemita. And therefore, we're forbidden to have relations between a husband and a wife. So therefore, Rashi says, also Laila, Shochicha Mabala, Choyu Mevatlin Tamatar, Bishur Shayu Orvin Aloir, since they were out in battle laying wait to capture the city of Yericho. Lochziru Ba'erevis Orvin Mekomo Begilgo. And they didn't bring the Orvin Kodesh. So to say, they didn't bring the Shekhinah back to the Mishkan in Gilgal, and therefore, that night, they weren't allowed to have Tashmish Amita, husband and wife. And therefore, Yehoshua caused this problem, and therefore, Mida Keneged Mida, Rav Abba Bar Papa says, this is the reason why Yehoshua did not have sons, because he caused the bittul of sons in Klai Yisrael, because he didn't allow the husbands and wives to be together that night, so therefore, he was punished Mida Keneged Mida, not like Rav Levi. Now the Gemara says, "I'm Rishmul Bar Inya, Mishmei the Rav." Rishmul Bar Inya says the name of Rav. Godel Talmud Torah Yosem Yakrovus Tmidim. We see from this Gemara that we just had the story of Yeshua and the Malach that Talmud Torah is even greater than the bringing of the Korban Tomid, because the pasuk says the Amalei that Malach tells Yeshua, "Atabasi, for this sin that you're doing right now, not learning Torah, I'm coming to give you patch. I'm going to punish you." As opposed to when you didn't bring the Korban Tomid Shobein Arbayim, that wasn't as severe that I should come and have to punish you, and therefore, we see from here, Rav Shmuel Bar Inya says in the name of Rav that Talmud Torah is even greater than the bringing of Korbanos. Now we go back and talk about the importance of husband and wife being together. So Amar Rav Bruna, Amar Rav. Rav Bruna says the name of Rav, Kol Yoshim Bekila, if somebody is sleeping in a room, she'ish v'ishto shruim ba, that has a husband and a wife in it. Sometimes a person has company over and he doesn't have enough room, so put children in the room with the parents or a sibling in the room with the parent. So that's not right, because you're causing the husband and the wife not to be together. And all of a kosav omer, about such a person it says, nishei ami tigorshun mideis tanuga. You're causing, so to say, the wives to be divorced from the makom of enjoyment, from the house of enjoyment. In other words, they're not letting the husbands and wives have relations together, and therefore that is considered a very significant avla, a very important thing not to do. If you have get so, you should make sure that the husband and wife are together. Furthermore, this is true, Yomar of Yosef, afilu bishto nida, even if they physically aren't allowed to have relations because the wife is a nida. Nevertheless, the private time between a husband and a wife, even if it's not going to lead to relations, Rav Yosef says it's so important that you shouldn't do anything to separate a husband and wife. They should have their personal private time together with no interruptions, nobody else there. Rava disagrees. Rava Amar, no, imishto nida, if the woman's a nida, tavol a bracha, you're actually doing them a favor, because Rachmana Litzlan, and they're closest with each other, so it could lead Rachmana Litzlan to doing a teru l'aveira, and therefore Rava disagrees with Rav Yosef and says it's actually a good thing if the woman's a nida. Everybody knew when a person was a nida in those days, they dressed differently. There was aspects of communal tumah that were involved, so people knew that she was a nida. So therefore, they would say, put this person in the room, so they Rachmana Litzlan don't do an aveira. That's Rava's approach. However, the Gemara says Velohi, Rava is incorrect. The Ato Idna Man Notre, we don't force and insist that every husband and wife, when the wife's in the nida, that somebody sleeps in their bedroom. So just like all the time, we're not worried that the Rachman al-Islam do an Aveira, we trust them. We have a famous concept of Pas Bisalo. If a person can have relations with his wife when she's Mutu, he's not necessarily going to have relations with his wife when she's Asa to him. So therefore, the Gemara says that Rava's wrong. Even if the woman's Ishto Nida, so we don't put somebody else in the room, husband and wife, they need to have their private time uninterrupted by anybody else, even if it's not going to lead to Tashmish. So after this long, detailed sidebar discussion, we now get back to the Mishnah. How Mavov, there was a certain Mavoi that belonged to the Havadayer Bey Lachman Bar Ristak. That was the name. He was a guy, and his name was Lachman Bar Ristak. Tosa says his name was actually Haman. According to Rabbeinu Hanano, his name was Haman Bar Ristak. No, he was a guy. And Armulei, he lived with many other Jewish people, like we learned in the Mishnah. In that situation, you have to go and rent from him his rights, or else he ruins it for you. So Armulei, the Jewish people said to this Lachman or Haman Bar Ristak, Ogaloch Rishusach, we want to purchase from you, we want to rent from you the rights to allow us to carry in this Mavoi on Shabbos. However, as the Gemara already told us previously, they're not going to be so willing to do this either, because they're concerned that they're going to lose their rights permanently, or maybe you're doing black magic over there. So lo ogalo, so he didn't want to go and rent them his rights. So therefore, they would be stuck in not being allowed to carry from their houses into this Mavoi. So what should they do? So also Amalei Abai, they went to Abai and said, you have an Eitzah for us. So Amalei, so Abai told me, yeah, I have a good Eitzah. Zilu batilu rishusaychu legabichad. So let's say there's 10 Yidden over here. So 9 of you be mevatel rishus to one of you. So Reuven, you'll be the one, all the other 9 guys, they're mevatel their rishus to you. And now, therefore, it looks like halachically there's only one guy living here with this one Yid. And therefore, in that situation, we possibly, like we learned, the Relozim and Yaakov in the Mishnah, Havale Yochid B'Mokum Nochri, it's only an individual with a Nochri, and as we pointed out, the Halacha follows Relozim and Yaakov, and therefore, the Yochid B'Mokum Nochri, Lo Osa. The rabbis didn't institute, according to Relozim and Yaakov, a Gzeiro, the whole thing is a Gzeiro. They didn't institute the Gzeiro when there's only one person. Halachically, you've made it by the other 9, let's say, however many it is, be Mavatul to this one Yid, the Rishus, and therefore, this is how you can go and carry from that person's house into the courtyard. Now Rashi points out, by doing so, what you've accomplished is 2 things. He says, number one, hu mutter vehein osurin. So he is allowed to go carry stuff from his house into the courtyard, but they still can't carry stuff from their house into the courtyard, but also it allows them to go carry anything in the courtyard. That's the 2 benefits that Rashi says you get from this bittul that's done. Others disagree with Rashi, but that's what Rashi understands. Then the Gemara says, Abaye's answer is not such a good answer. Amrulei, the Talmidim told Abaye, Midei hu taima. The whole idea that we said, according to Relezvin Yaakov, is that one Jew is living there is because that's an unlikely scenario that one Jew will live there. Ella, the lo shriach, the dairi, because they're afraid for their lives. The one Jew living alone amongst Goyim, he has to be afraid for his life. They're Shema Yaruk, they may come to kill him. But here, v'hocha, ha'ka dairi, there are going to be 10 Jews living over there, just this technicality that they're making a bittul. So therefore, shouldn't the rabbis be gozer in this situation? So Abaye says, no, it's like a low plug. Amalahu, call Bitula Bishusayu Gabichad. When we're talking here about these other nine guys, again, I'm making up the number nine, could be any number of guys. The other nine people there that have been Mavato, the Rishus, this is a Milsa, the Loshrichi. This is very unusual that something like this is going to happen. And therefore, Milsa, the Loshrichi, lo Gazbe Rabbanim. So it's a low plug. We don't make a Gzeri in this situation because we don't make such Gzeris. According to Reles and Yaakov, if one guy is living there, we don't need to make such example because it's very unlikely. And so too, to have nine people, mimavato to one guy. And now it's like halachically, one guy's living there is also a davar lo shliach, and therefore no need to make such example. Also, Rav Huna, b'rei Rav Yeshua, one time Rav Huna, the son of Rav Yeshua, am l'shmaitse k'mei de Rava, said over this halacha that Abaye just brought down in front of Rava. And Rava didn't like it. Amalei, Rava said to him, we turn to the Amal Aleph. If this is true, what Abaye suggested, in Cain, Bitalto Torres Eruv Meosamovi. So they're going to do this every single week. They're not going to make an Eruv Chatzeros, and only one guy's going to carry, but they're all going to carry within the Mavui, like Rashi said. So you're going to forget the Torah of Eruv. You're going to forget this whole concept of Eruv in this situation. So Rava didn't like it. However, Rav Huna b'Rei Yehoshua told them, no, the Marvi, Abaye said that they should go and do an Eruv, and this way they won't forget the Aloch of Eruv. Gemara says, so then, it's not good. Rava said, Yomru Erev Moel B'makum Nochri. So people are going to think that it's the Erev that allows you to carry, and not the fact that they did this the halachic bittel of the other nine people to the one guy, to Reuven. So people are going to think, no, if you have an Erev, even if there's a guy there, it's okay. So that's going to lead to a terrible takala. So Rav Huna says, no. In this situation, Rav Huna b'Rei Yehoshua said to Rava, the Machri Zinon, Abaye said, go and announce it. So therefore, everybody will know. Where it says, Rava still didn't like this teretz. He says, Achrasto de dardike. So who's going to tell the children, right? Okay, so all the adults know, but the children who grow up, right? You know, today, people that grow up in a town, in a city that has an Erev, so those kids, they really don't understand the din of not carrying on Shabbos, and you suddenly bring them to a place where there is no Erev. Oh, I can't have any tissues, I can't carry my key, I can't carry, they don't realize fully. So therefore, that's what Rava was concerned about, that these children who live in this yard will think that the Erev can go and negate the fact that the non-Jewish person is living over there. El Amar Rava. So Rava said, this is what you should do. Lezul chad minayu likravle. Let one of the nine Jewish people, let one of the Jewish people over here go and get close with this non-Jewish person, with this lachmon or this haman. The lisho minei duchta. And let him ask, listen, can you lend me this place? Can I go and put something in this place? So you're getting permission from him for one specific thing. Can I put my chair over here in this courtyard? V'leinach be'midi, and let me put it over here and keep it there. So once the non-Jewish person lets him do that, d'havelei kischiro l'kito, by doing so, he becomes to him like a sochir or a loket. These are individual farmers that either do a schiris, they take a certain percentage of the crop, or they get paid a certain amount of money, or like a person who's just gathering in the crops and gets paid like a daily rate, a per diem type of a rate. And therefore, once you become his sochir or loket, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, in this situation, if the guy has a Jewish sochir or loket, afilu schiro, afilu likito, no seni ruva v'dayo. So then, you can bypass the guy in this situation and have the Sochir, or the Lokit, participate in the Erev, so to say, on behalf of the Akum, because he now has the rights there to a certain small extent, and therefore we can obviate the Akum from the relationship here, and therefore this Sochir or Lokit, who got close to this Akum in this way, can now bypass the Akum, who doesn't want to rent over his rights, and he puts money into the Erev, he puts a piece of bread, a piece of matzah into the box, and now they have a good kosher Erev Chatzeros. What is this din of Sochir v'Lokit? Omele Abayla Rav Yosef. Oishon chamisho schiro v'hei l'kito mahu. Let's say this guy has not one Sochir v'Lokit, but he has five Sochir, five Lokits. What's the halacha? Do all five of them have to do this? Or is it enough that one of them does it? So Rav Yosef tells him, Omele, the whole idea over here of a Sochir v'Lokit is a kula. Im amru schiro l'kito l'hakel, we allow this to work only is a kula, that you can bypass the guy in this situation. So, yomu schiru l'kitu l'hachmir, is it going to make it into a chumra? If he has five of them, you have to do it for all five? No. Having one of them is all that you need. This is a good break point. We'll stop over here, and this concludes today's share.